as we move along. Mark chapter 4, verse 19. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Mark 4, 19. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Mark 4, 19. 1 John 2, 1. My little children, I am writing these things to you, that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. 1 John 2, 1. My little children, I'm writing these things to you, that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. 1 John 2, 1. Romans 12, 17. Never retaliate, pay back evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Romans 12, 17. Never retaliate, pay back evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Romans 12, 17. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Our purpose for being here today, as always, is to turn our attention away from the things of this world and focus our minds upon the eternal Word of God. We hold in our hand today, we see on the screen today, the magnificent truths of God's Word. We spend some time now in prayer before we begin our study, realizing that to study God's Word, it is absolutely essential that our hearts be right in tune with our Lord. That's the reason why we have a few moments of silence, to be sure that we are cleansed of sin, filled with the Holy Spirit, and ready to receive spiritual fuel for our souls. The Scripture says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How wonderful it is to know that we can be cleansed of sin and filled with the Holy Spirit. May we pray together, please. Father, these are wonderful moments for us. We're here to allow ourselves again to be the recipients of spiritual fuel, realizing how important it is for us to be able to see from a divine vertical viewpoint. Life is short at the longest. We realize that. And so we pray that whatever time you allow us to have on this earth, that we will take advantage of the time, that we will advance spiritually, we'll grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And that's the reason for these moments now of study. We pray that you will guide us in these moments. We pray that we will understand more clearly your word than ever before, and we'll realize how much spiritual food you have for us. Bless us, we pray, in these moments of study. In Jesus' name, amen. Most of you are aware of the fact that we've been studying from the book of Ephesians. We made our way through various passages of Scripture, and on the screen you see that we've come down now to Ephesians 4:32. We back up just a little bit, and now on the screen you're seeing Ephesians 4:29. Which says, every word, every corrupt word out of your mouth, let it not proceed. We pause for a moment to look at those words. Every corrupt word out of your mouth, let it not proceed. But that which is, next page, that which is good to the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. And that word hearer is plural, hearers. Every word that's corrupt out of your mouth, let it not proceed. But that word Allah is a conjunction of contrast right there. But what is agathos, good, God's intrinsic good, face to face to the edifying, and there's the word which is so beautiful. Oikos is the Greek word for house in the New Testament. Oikos is the word for house. Dome here, the second part of this word, is the word which means to build, to construct a spiritual house. That's the reason why we've said over and over again over the past weeks and months and years that God desires for each one of us as believers to be in the construction business, building a spiritual house of the soul. And we take it from this Greek word right here. Oikos is house, dome means build, so it means to build the spiritual house of the soul. So we go back and we emphasize the fact that every corrupt word not proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, agathos, to the edifying or the building up of the spiritual house of the soul. Now we go to verse 29. Let's go to verse 30. Verse 30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption." I had planned to spend some time today on the subject of redemption, but I will not do that because of our time being adjusted here this morning. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Now we go to Ephesians 4:31. All classifications of bitterness. The Greek word that we find here is tikria, T-I-K-R-I-A, all classifications of bitterness, and that's the Greek word for bitterness. Then they're listed, and we won't go into these in detail other than just mention them. There's the word wrath that comes from the Greek word tumos, anger, which is the Greek word orge. Then there's the word evil speaking. When I give you this word, you're going to recognize it. It is the Greek word blasphemia. And most of you, by my just saying that, understand that that is the Greek word from which we get blasphemy. So it is evil speaking, blasphemia. And it means to use the words of the mouth to murder with the mouth, blasphemia. And then there's the word clamor. We'll move along. And the words there is that the things that are classified as bitterness and wrath and anger and evil and clamor, all of these things, the goes on in the verse says, let it be removed. God is saying to the believer that you and I have the responsibility to live our lives, to magnify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and leave off those things that would bring dishonor to Him. And they're just listed, and I've given you those. Let these things be removed. Now, let's stop for just a few moments on the word removed. The Greek word there is such a beautiful word. It means at a point of time, let these things be removed. The passive voice of this verb says that they are to be taken away. And then the indicative mood, which is not an indicative mood, it's an imperative mood, which is the mood of command. It says these things we're commanded to pick up and carry away. So it says, let it be removed, let it be picked up and carried away. These sins grieve the Holy Spirit and must be removed by the believer who is advancing, growing So it says, let these sins be hauled off along with, and then I've got to get to this word quickly, along with all kakos, K-A-K-O-S. And let me stop you and let you look at this. Please put down the word K-A-K-O-S. The word is translated evil. Now we're going to stop for a few moments and let you think with me what we've heard in the past years, or the past weeks, the past months on this word K-A-K-O-S. The word is kakia, which is from the word kakos. And it is translated from the Greek to the English, it is translated evil. Now the question is, what is evil? The answer to that is, evil is satanic thinking. Please write somewhere in your mind, if not on paper, evil is satanic thinking. And this verse of scripture is saying, all satanic thinking is to be picked up and hauled off, carried away. And the verb is an imperative verb, which means a command. We have the responsibility as believers, all these things previously that have been mentioned. We have to understand that evil is satanic thinking. You can pray and God will hear your prayer and forgive sin. But you don't pray and are forgiven of evil, because evil is satanic thinking. The only way to get rid of satanic thinking is to get a different type of thinking. Now you have to hear me carefully, because people can get so mixed up on my statements. I don't get on my knees and ask God to forgive me of evil. I can pray, you can pray, and God will forgive us of sin. Sin is disobedience. Evil is a system of thinking. And the only way that we can get rid of satanic thinking is to get a different type of thinking. And the only way that you and I can have a different type of thinking is to have God's thinking, Bible thinking, divine thinking, vertical thinking. We have to see as God sees. We have to understand as God understands. We have to have the thinking of our Lord. And the scripture says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's God's thinking. You and I have to have God's thinking. You don't pray to get rid of evil. You pray to get rid of sin. But you have to have, and I have to have, a different type of thinking. That's the reason why for 70 years now I've had the responsibility of communicating God's Word. My job is to help you as I learn and I advance, to help you learn and you advance and see from a divine vertical viewpoint. Okay, this says, let all this evil, all of this satanic thinking be picked up, hauled off, removed. Let it be hauled off along with all these sins, along with all satanic thinking. Verse 32 is our next verse, which is our verse for this morning. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. What I want you to do with me now is look at Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another. I stop with you and let you look at it. Very important to see it. Be kind one to another. I could go into all the different little words here, but I can't do that because it would take me till midnight tonight. We don't want to stay that long. Be ye kind one to another. And the word is genomai, become something. Be ye means become, kind. The verb is a command. That IMP stands for imperative verb. God is saying you and I have the responsibility as believers to be kind. The P stands for present tense, which means keep on being kind. You and I have the responsibility as believers of doing this continuously, constantly. Be kind one to another. The middle voice, if I came and sat by your side today, if you've been here for any period of weeks or months, I would ask you, what is the meaning of that M, middle voice? And there's not a person here who couldn't tell me. But I want to give you an A. You would say the middle voice means the subject participates in the action and is benefited thereby. You got an A. I'm proud of you. You got an A. This says that you and I have the responsibility, imperative verb, command, to be kind one to another as an advanced, growing believer. And when we are kind one to another, we're going to be participating in the action and we're going to be benefited thereby. Does that make sense? Sure it does. The original language of the New Testament makes sense. We have to understand that. Be ye kind, become something you haven't been maybe in the past. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. There's the word, forgiven. Well, I can't tell you how much fun I'm having. My subject is forgiveness. Did y'all get that? I want you to see that there are words in the original language for forgiveness that mean so much, that are so powerful, that are so unique, that would drastically change your life and mine if we could just get a taste of what it means. I don't want to be teaching Greek today, but I want to be teaching Greek today. Did y'all hear me? I want you to see these two words. If you don't remember anything else, write these down and remember it, or try to remember it. When I went to 1 John chapter 2, verse 12, I said, I've got to let those people whom I love so dearly see this, because it's so powerful. It is so unique. In 1 John 2:12, John is writing by the Spirit of God. And he says, I write unto you, little children. I love that. I love the fact that we have in here and in our church children. They're precious. They're wonderful. You have children. Some of you have children, some of you have grandchildren, precious children. And I sense something here as I read this verse. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. But that's not what it says. The original language says, your sins have been forgiven. Oh my. Your sins have been forgiven. Now, let me give you these words. Please let me just give you these words. Just listen to me. You don't have to have the Greek, but just listen to the letters of this word. A, P, H, I, E, M, I. Now, some of you are saying, preacher, what in the world are you doing to us? You've just given us some letters. What does it mean? Well, it's Afiemi. Isn't that something? Didn't you want to know how to pronounce that word? Afiemi. Let me spell it again. A-P-H-I-E-M-I. Afiemi. It's a word which means forgiven. Forgiven. Your sins have been forgiven. Afiemi. When I look at this word, let me tell you what it is. And you're going to get excited. You just may jump up and down. But don't jump too high, please. This is a perfect tense verb. What does that mean? It means it's happened in the past. It's been consummated in the past. And the result of that will continue from now on. That's the perfect tense. Stay with me. You have been saved in the past. That salvation has been completed in the past. There's not anything that can be added to it or take it away from it. You've got it. It's yours. It's mine. Forever. That's salvation secure. Perfect tense verb. I could shout that all day, and I don't think I could shout it loud enough. Because perfect tense verb, your sins have been forgiven. Perfect tense verb. Passive voice. We have received it. Indicative mood. The mood of reality. Nothing can change that. The people who don't believe in the eternal security of believer, the people who don't believe in the eternal security of the believers, those individuals don't believe God. They don't accept God as a God of strength and power and His truthfulness. Are you with me? Okay, I've got to hurry because it's going to be lunchtime in a moment and I'm not through yet. I write unto you little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. We're saved for His name's sake. Afiemi. Now, look at Ephesians 4:32. What to do with it? I should have it here somewhere. Here it is. Oh, yes. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. The Greek word here is the second word I want to give you for forgiving is charizomai. Now, you don't have to know this, but I want you to know it before you leave here. C-H-A-R-I-S is the Greek word for grace. grace. Charizomai means that being forgiven means that we've been graced out. Can't have anything better than that. We've been graced out. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, because we have been the recipients of having been graced out. Could I ask you a question? And I've got to do this in a hurry. If you were to write down a definition for forgiveness, what would it be? What does it mean to be forgiven? The Bible answer. Forgiveness is the act of pardoning an offense or offender. In the Bible, the Greek word translated forgiveness literally means to let go, as when a person does not demand a payment for a debt. Jesus used this comparison when he taught his followers to pray, "Father, forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who's in debt to us." Luke 11:4. Likewise, in his parable of the unmerciful slave, Jesus equated forgiveness with canceling a debt in Matthew 18:23-35. We forgive others when we let go of resentment and give up any claim to be compensated for the hurt or loss we've suffered. The Bible teaches that unselfish love is the basis for true forgiveness, since love does not keep account of injury. The Apostle Paul, writing the Corinthians, said in 1 Corinthians 13:4-5, love does not keep account of injury. That's what forgiveness means. So often people don't fully understand what the Bible teaches, though. What forgiveness means, we need to understand what forgiveness doesn't mean. Let me give you this quickly. Forgiveness does not mean condoning sin. The Bible actually condemns those who are involved in bad actions. I've got to be sure that I'm going down my right notes here. What forgiveness does not mean? It does not mean pretending that the offense never happened. God forgave King David of serious sins, but he did not shield David from the consequences of his actions. What I'm trying to get over to you, and I'm trying to do this hurriedly, we need to know what forgiveness means, but we also need to know what forgiveness does not mean. And I've just said to you, that forgiveness does not mean overlooking or pretending that it didn't happen. David sinned, God forgave King David of serious sins, but he did not shield David from the consequences of his actions. In fact, what I'm seeing here is so unique, and that is that God even had David's sins recorded so that they are remembered today in 2 Samuel chapter 12. What forgiveness means, what forgiveness doesn't mean. Forgiveness doesn't mean allowing others to take advantage of us. Suppose, for example, that you loan money to someone, but that person will waste that money and then cannot repay you as he or she had promised. He's very sorry, apologizes to you. You could choose to forgive him by not harboring resentment, not rehashing the matter. But the major thing here is your responsibility is not to have anger. I'm trying to look through all these statements that I have, because I feel like it's important for us to see that forgiveness involves a lot of things, but there are certain things that forgiveness does not involve. I put down in closing, the Bible emphasizes let go of anger, abandon rage, while not excusing the error of another's ways. You can refuse to be consumed with anger. You can trust that God will bring the person to account. God desires that you and I have the right attitude. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted. And the word charizomai is that word which emphasizes grace, understanding that we are the recipients of grace, and we have to have the mind in our responsibility in our mind of being a person of expressing grace to others, no matter what the various circumstances are. So much more. You've listened so well. May we pray together, please. Father, we realize today that we are the recipients of forgiveness. It's happened in the past. We are the recipients of that consummated work of salvation. As we come to the close of this session, we're aware of the fact that there may be people listening to my voice today who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Salvation is a gift from God, a beautiful, magnificent gift, one that can be received, not worked for. In no way can we do anything to achieve it in our own initiatives or our own strength. It's a gift to be received. So we pray that there will be many hearing my voice now who at this point have yet not done this, but will do it now. Understanding that when Jesus died on the cross, he died and paid the penalty for sin. And the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It was Jesus who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. We pray that there will be many who will trust you now. We thank you for your matchless grace. But be with us through this day. And thank you again for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.